time. Uncensored. Unstoppable. AlexJonesLive.com. Take a stand. Share the link.
Do you want to fight? You better believe you got one!
This 4th of July, I say celebrate a black woman that you know, because whether it's an invention that she made or whether it's the very democracy that still hangs by a thread right now, there is a black woman to thank for her contributions. When it comes to answering the question of what America owes black women, the answer is everything. When we think about the sacrifices that black women have made from the moment that we were stolen from our homelands and transported into this country.
And now our coming attractions.
I don't know about you, but I'm concerned with what's happening in this world.
We have got to realize that we're being conditioned on a mass scale.
Start challenging this corporate slave state.
Hey, look, it's Alex Jones.
Whoa.
We love you, Alex.
I'm concerned with the structure. I'm concerned with the systems of control. Those that control my life and those that seek to control it even more.
Hey, Libtard, Rachel Maddow called. He wants his shirt back.
You, Alex, suck my dick.
What a bunch of garbage, liberal, Democrat, conservative, Republican. It's all there to control you, two sides of the same coin.
Two management teams bidding for control, the CEO job of Slavery Incorporated.
Uh-oh, Antifa speed bump. Move, bitch, get out the way.
The truth is out there in front of you, but they lay out this buffet of lies. I'm sick of it, and I'm not going to take a bite out of it. Do you got me? We're going to stand up, and we're going to be human beings. We're going to get fired up about the real things, the things that matter, creativity, and the dynamic human spirit that refuses to submit.
I want to break down the new world order!
Yeah! I want freedom! That's what I want, and that's what you should want!
AlexJonesLive.com, because there is a war on for your mind. Reality starts here. AlexJonesLive.com. Share the link. Spread the word.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Anybody telling you not to be proud of your American heritage
is insane. Or they're a globalist technocrat trying to gaslight you into not loving your country and your heritage because they don't want you to stand up for it, because the American ideals of the revolution and what we've done together has changed the world, and tyrants and systems of political oppression worldwide can't compete against the American system. That's why for the 250th anniversary of our republic, this July 4th, for just 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we're having the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. Up to 60% off on the supplements. All the best sellers are buy one, get one free. Methylene Blue, Bovine Colostrum, Shilajit, you name it. And the Patriot Apparel, the widest selection, some of the best designs, up to 50% off. TheAlexJonesStore.com. The tip of the spear. It funds our operation as we fight the globalists, and the products are amazing. So celebrate the 4th with me right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and I thank you for your support.
The program leftists failed to silence. It's The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome to the Alex Jones Show here on the Alex Jones Network. I'm your guest host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. I'll be here for the next couple of hours. It's a great honor and pleasure to be with you on our 250th birthday as a nation. What an incredible fireworks display there in Washington, D.C. last night. Incredible fireworks display in my own neighborhood. Unexpected, but awesome, to say the least. And you know, as much anti-American sentiment as there is in this country today, as there is out there, we see it online, we see it everywhere, as much anti-American sentiment as there is today, we'll know this country is finally flatlined when you don't see those fireworks on July 4th, when people aren't out celebrating our independence in our country. And it tells you, it's a sobering source of inspiration. It should be a sobering source of inspiration. All of the people out there who celebrate this great country, and a lot of us, even me, we lose sight sometimes of how many people do share our beliefs, do share our values, do share our love of country, our love of God and family and common sense, more so than anything. In these days, we just got to hope for common sense to prevail, let alone God, family, country. So it's sobering in the sense that there are people out there who think the way we do. You know, we are not as alone as we think. Now, we'd love to have more numbers, right? And that's why the great Alex Jones has continued to do the work that he's done, and the entire Alex Jones Network and this audience and all the other people around the country who love this country, who want to have a country, and continue to try and spread the word. You know, I'm in the belly of the beast, so I have a different take on how drastic things really are. I'm behind enemy lines already, an already failed communist state. A who's who of Democrat stalwarts, Democrat, figureheads, people who really represent all the problems with the modern day Democrat Party. From Tim Walz down to Ilhan Omar, but everybody up in between, up and down the line, all of them, Minnesota, cultural epicenter of American politics, no doubt about it. I mean, we have a who's who of bad hombres here in the state of Minnesota. And is this a failed communist state? People look at it and go, well, you know, people are moving there all the time. And like, you know, you have to start to gauge, what does it mean to be free? What does freedom really mean? That's the question we should be asking ourselves this July 4th, this 250th year of our nation. What does it actually mean to be free? Is freedom, I can go on my cell phone and say what I want? Is freedom, I can go down to local Applebee's and get a burger and a beer, watch a football game, or if you're watching the FIFA World Cup or whatever the case may be, is that freedom? Is freedom, I can go to a local bathhouse like they just approved here in the city of Minneapolis. You know, the kids can't read. The proficiency in Minneapolis public schools is below 40%. Below 40%. Proficiency ratings in the Minneapolis public schools, yet the city council has time for approving bathhouses, gay bathhouses in the city. I mean, it just tells you again, I'm behind enemy lines in the belly of the beast. Stupid gay communists are everywhere. But you know, is that freedom? So, you know, to some people, I guess we have to, you know, all the easy answers all these easy questions, all the easy answers are behind us now. We have to make some real tough decisions about what it means to be American, what it means to be a citizen, what it means to be free, what it means to be righteous. And on the other end of things, what it means to be occupied, what it means to be subverted, what it means to be a slave, ruled over, what it means to lose your sovereignty. And, you know, this guy, Sneeko, I don't really know much about him. I've seen him on a lot of internet video clips and whatnot. And I know I've seen him a few times with, maybe might be Fuentes, might have been Tate, might have been Myron Gaines. I've seen him a bit, you know, out there. And it's just like, first of all, these guys were never cool. It's a knock on the state of our nation and the culture when people like that are even prominent. And I guess I'd noticed this over the last couple of years anyway, and the advent of social media and streaming becoming a crazy, crazy, crazy phenomenon. And I noticed it first with the young kids, with the little ones, who there was this booming enterprise, this booming audience and taste for young kids watching other young kids open and play with toys. They watch other kids open toys and play with their toys. They watch them play video games. People watch other people play video games. It's just really a strange thing to me. I don't know what else to say about it. It's odd. It's insanely odd to me. Maybe I'm just like, you know, stupid, unk millennial or whatever the case may be. You know, I got the gray hairs and the linen suit on and whatnot. And it's just, maybe I'm out of touch with things, but not in my house. I mean, I'm just not interested in watching anybody else play video games. I don't mind podcasts. Podcasts are great. If it weren't for podcasts, we'd have lost this country already. So I'm not against podcasts. I'm not even against streaming your life. You know, some of these guys I see, they're streaming their daily life, but I just mean it's a sign of a decaying and declining culture when people are more interested in watching other individuals doing trivial things than building something themselves. And there's a direct correlation, in my opinion, to our loss of sovereignty. It's like, of course you don't believe in being the master of your own universe if you're more interested in watching other people do meaningless things versus build your own whatever. Of course, there's a direct correlation. And then you find yourself watching some clown, and that's what he is. He's a clown, you know, out there screaming for every city to become overrun with Muslims. It's like, again, I was out there on what, you know, where was Sneeko when the Uyghur Muslims were being thrown in concentration camps? When I was out there waving the flag back in 2022 and saying that the Uyghur Muslims were, you know, being genocided by the Chinese Communist Party, by the CCP, where were the Sneekos of the world? Where were any of these people? Where were any of these Muslim or Arab leaders in the Middle East? Where was Erdogan? You know, where were any of these people? MBS, any of them, none of them. They all bent the knee. And this is what I'm saying, and I'm not afraid to say it, and they could, you know, they could say what they want, but they know the score. I mean, the history speaks for itself, and I get a lot of Turkic people who send me messages and correspondence online and say, thank you for speaking out for our people, because a lot of our own leaders won't even do it. Why? And that is the ultimate question. Why? Why were people so hesitant to talk about the Uyghur Muslims? Could it be that China's greasing everybody's palms? You know, China's over there in the Middle East and Africa and in Asia and even parts of Europe, greasing everybody's palms. Here in America, greasing everybody's palms. Everybody's on the China gravy train. Could that be why people's standards for humanitarianism, ethics, morals, justice, social welfare and whatnot change on a dime? When you start to talk about China, everybody's money gets affected. But my point is, this is a problem. This is the fight that we have. We have a problem with Zionism. We have a problem with radical Islam. We have a problem with Marxism. We have a problem with the LGBTQ. Thank God we made it out of the month of June yet again. And I'm spinning here. I mean, I feel like I'm taking crazy pills, because to me, I just for the life of me. I do not understand why we need 30 days to celebrate being gay. I just don't get it. And even furthermore, it's not that I don't understand the narcissistic impulse of gay people to want to make every single day of a month be about their sexual perversions or sexual identity crisis. It's not that I don't understand that, because I understand that well. That narcissism tracks perfectly. What I don't understand is how Americans, and that would be you and I, all of us collectively, stood by and watched as our nation normalized 30 days of LGBTQ celebration. And I've been saying it for the last couple of weeks, but I'll say it here because I wasn't on last weekend. It's all just gay. You know, lesbians are gay. Gays are gay. Bisexuals are gay. Transgenders are gay. Queers are gay. And the pluses are super gay. So, I mean, why do we need 30 days to celebrate that? You know, even if we had one day, and it's like, that's the litmus test for the left. What's wrong with one day? I don't understand. Well, what's wrong with just having one day for you to celebrate being gay? Wouldn't that be more equitable to the rest of the people and their difference of beliefs in the country? No, the narcissistic impulse of the LGBTQ and the radical left is what we think is the gospel. Just happens to be anti-gospel, happens to be anti-Christ, happens to be anti-American, happens to be anti-human, happens to be anti-common sense. Man, we've put up with it. I hope everybody had a great time yesterday. I really hope everybody did. You have to have fun. You know, fun is necessary. What would life be without fun? But let it mean something. Let the pride and the joy of our nation mean something more than the fireworks and the barbecues and the time at the lake or wherever you spent your time yesterday. Let it mean something. It doesn't mean anything if we turn around the next day and let these clowns, like Sneeko, you know, let every city, inshallah, every city becomes Muslim? Really? See, and it's almost like they're, and this is what really bothers me. And I was saying this the other day about relationships with women. If you're a man out there, heterosexual man, and you've ever been in a serious relationship with a woman who is super dysfunctional, unhinged psychologically, you have encountered this where, you know, at some point, what you're arguing about isn't what you're really arguing about anymore. And it becomes clear, you know, that the intent is to cause a bigger fight so that maybe you lose your temper and you say something profane, and then that reinforces her manipulative and false claims that you're abusive or violent or, you know, a bad guy, bad hombre, right? If you've been in a relationship with a woman who I certainly have, I've experienced it several times, at least minimum. It's like, I'm going to say everything I can to get you to react. And then when you react, I'm going to say, see how he is. And that's super gay. I mean, that's gay for women to do. That's gay in a South Park kind of way, right? But I think a lot of these Muslims are gay. I'm just going to be honest with you. That type of behavior is gay to me. Like, they're egging on Christians, and then when Christians or Westerners or Americans or, you know, the Zionists or whoever it is, when we clap back, and I say we very loosely because I don't count myself with the Zionists one bit, but we just so happen to be part of a historical military alliance. Unfortunately, we happen to be part of a historical military alliance. And when we clap back, all of a sudden, everybody cries wolf. Everybody cries, you know, boo-hoo. It's like, well, what is even that? You walk up, you spit at my feet, spit in my face, threaten me, you talk loud, you get aggressive, you get disrespectful, you get the teeth knocked out of your mouth, and that's just the way it usually goes in society. I mean, across the eternal house of history, that's kind of the universal common denominator of the way men interact with one another. If you cross a line, if you cross a boundary, things get physical, and sometimes things go bad. Tragedy strikes. It happens. It happens. Not saying it's a good thing. Not saying we shouldn't try and overcome that impulse, but it happens. But a part of that is also natural justice. It's like, you can't do whatever you want to do without consequences. That's just life. That's a universal axiom. It's like part of the fabric of reality. Action, reaction, cause, effect. Choices, consequences. And you can see the through line between the Marxists and the radical left and radical Islam and these Muslims, because they really believe that whatever they think and say should go with no opposition whatsoever. And when you oppose them, like Jasmine Crockett, that's why I played her in the cold open. When you oppose their stupidity, their illogic, their break from reality, when you oppose them, they cry victim. They say that they've been victimized. You can't even call them stupid. Like, if I call Jasmine Crockett stupid, there'll be an entire echo chamber of the social media platforms that says, Royce is disrespectful to women. You see, he's a misogynist. He doesn't like black women. I don't like stupid women. And to pretend that Jasmine Crockett is a representative of the most broadest, archetype of black women is stupid again. I know plenty of black women who, A, don't act like Jasmine Crockett, and B, wouldn't like Jasmine Crockett, wouldn't hang out with Jasmine Crockett, wouldn't listen to Jasmine Crockett. They don't think she's cool, smart, or a good politician. I know plenty of black women who are nothing like Jasmine Crockett. So when did Jasmine Crockett become the representative of everybody else? And to make matters even worse, they even want to extend her representation to black men, and that's where I got to... absolutely not. You will not be representing me, Miss Crockett. Sorry, you're too stupid. Your IQ is way too low to represent anybody, let alone people whose IQ is way higher than yours. Absolutely not. Not representing me. You all out there in the audience, you Democrats, you know, you can farm this, clip this, or whatever you guys do. You sycophants out there, and say, you see, Royce is an Uncle Tom. Hey, you know what? If you guys want to roll with the Jasmine Crockett crew, that's fine. It doesn't bother me. It doesn't hurt my feelings one bit. Not one single bit. I just laugh at it. I'm to the point now, in our 250th year, I was born at a good time. I can just sit back and laugh at some of this stuff, some of these people. Again, like Sneeko, inshallah, every city looks Muslim like New York City. You know, and part of me just says, oh, boy. When are we going to get it on with these folks? Because I don't think they're that tough. I'm just going to be honest. To me, that's to me. Now, I know there are a lot of milquetoast liberals who can't wait for some jihadist takeover. You know, they hate Christianity so much. There's such a deep hatred, a visceral hatred for Christianity and white Christian men. They're willing to become the victims, the slaves even, of a jihadist Sharia law. I mean, it's... These white people who I see, like our Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan here, who's now running for U.S. Senate, leading the polls, by the way, was endorsed by the Democratic Socialists here in Minnesota. When I see these white liberals wearing hijabs and Palestinian flags and kufis and whatnot, I'm just sitting there thinking to myself, you're gay. That's super gay. And it's weird, guys. Like, I don't know how else to say it to you. It's just really weird. It's really weird. This infatuation with Islam as a juxtaposition or reaction to, Western excellence, Western dominance, Western exceptionalism. I don't know what exactly to call it, but in reaction to, in response to, it's like, you know, Islam is like counterculture to Western Christianity, which is gay. I kind of get a sense of personal, internal discomfort when I feel myself gravitate towards something that's a counterculture, consensus counterculture, right? It's what people used to call hipsters. Hipsters, like, you know, they just counter because they hate life, they hate themselves, they think it's cool to be rebellious. It's like these weird Antifa cosplayers that you see in the street, and we're all afraid of them, which is even more crazy. It's like, why are we afraid of these people? Why are we trying to court these people for their votes? Why are we going over to the left and saying, don't we agree on economic populism? What? First, no, we don't agree. They don't agree. They're communists. They're socialists. And no, we don't agree on economic populism. They don't agree at all. They'll say anything to get power, which is why they will still ultimately vote for politicians on the left or the center right, if need be. They'll support politicians on the center right, at least with the mainstream media, who support the economic superstructure of this country and the entire postmodern world. Of course they will. They're communists. They don't care about the truth. They care about the power. And you only have power if, like, people are afraid. And in some strange place, some dark corner of our soul as a nation, we are afraid of these people. We are afraid of these Marxists. We're afraid of these Muslims. We're afraid of the Zionists. We're afraid to just offend people. I don't know. Maybe I'm unique in that I have zero care about offending anyone. It's no manner of good health to be well adjusted to an insane and sick society. So if you tell the truth in a society that's proliferated lies and deceit, of course you're going to be offensive. Of course you're going to be offending folks. And praise be to God. Amen. Amen. Christ was probably very offensive to some people. Obviously, he got crucified for what he was saying. I just don't understand the fear. You know, this 250th year, let day one of year 250 be the day the clarion call went out. F these Muslims. F these Marxists. F these centrists. F these Zionists. And the list goes on and on and on. And you know what? You look up and you find yourself in what is a very uncomfortable minority. And that's what we're really afraid of. That's how the right in this country has embraced the heresy of democracy. We're afraid of being in that minority. But our founding fathers were different. They fought for minority rights. The Civil War was greatly about minority rights. And you argue, was who's on the right side of that war? Okay, I get it. Details. But ultimately, minority rights is like a fundamental pillar of this nation's core beliefs. Which is why a guaranteed form of Republican government in your constitution, in all the state constitutions, is exactly what we have to stand up for now. But I don't know. People like this guy, Sneeko. It's crazy to me. I'm just looking like, when did these guys become cool? I just got to tell you all, these people were never cool. They were never cool. Never. Where I come from in the neighborhood at school, they didn't have their own lunch table. They sat off with the weird kids and they talked about weird stuff. They dressed weird. You know, they were into goth. Some of these weirdos, these goth liberals who are now the Antifa cosplayers, they ate lunch in the bathroom because they didn't want to be bullied. And it's like, well, you're bullying me. No, we're not bullying you. You're 150 pounds overweight. Your hair is purple. You're wearing goth clothes. And you smell funny. God bless America. We don't want to sit with you. No. You're watching the Alex Jones Show here. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. We'll be right back in a moment. Stay tuned.
And a microscopic tag being planted in a person's body to track his every movement. There's actual discussion about that.
And often they're things you don't know what to do with. UBOs, they're called unidentified bright objects.
Can brain scans be used to determine whether a person is inclined toward criminality or violent behavior?
Who's got the brain that's going to be most susceptible to a particular kind of manipulation?
So the point is, they've been obsessed with this. It's going on. The COVID shots implanted the matrix graphene oxide to grow. It's now being scanned. It's now being read. They were putting chips in the troops 30 years ago. The revolution's already here, is what you're saying, Jesse Beltran.
These are just chips on a size that you can no longer see. They're nano size. One's 2,000 times the width of a human hair. The graphene oxide, the silicon-based materials that have been in, we know for a fact that they were in the mRNA. We know that Dr. Ido Bachelet signed a contract with Pfizer in 2015 when he did that TEDMed talk with a trillion robots in a 1cc syringe, and how he teaches his students how to, once they're in a host, how to control them with RF emissions.
And you heard Colin saying 21 years ago that, oh, yeah, when we're doing scans, we find all these chips, these bright objects, ha, 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 wonder to put them there. But as you said, you've been doing this 20 years, and about 10 years ago, you began to go away not seeing chips anymore, but just liquid emulsion nanotech. Here you are 6 months ago or more scanning me. Let's go to Alex Jones getting scanned.
So if you put that camera in there, you see how it says probably silicone? That means it's an electronic component. And it's not unusual to find that in the posterior ear area.
So wait, I got a higher reading than him?
No, his was higher than yours.
Okay,
yeah,
that's good.
Yeah, but you did get a positive reading there. So you are getting the you know, base of the neck is what we typically see. Scapula area. What we're finding is after post-COVID, this is very typical. We're completely bombarded by this stuff.
From your own research, there are compounds naturally in nature that just do absolutely incredible things that will draw out these type of things. But you guys have come up with one with scientists that adds these special sea minerals in that then even drags it out even more. And so I have been taking this, the dreams I've had, my skin, my health, what it's done is absolutely insane. Get masterpiece.com. Matt Hazen, tell us what this does, and people can get 10% off when they follow the URL, getmasterpiece.com, or use promo code Alex when you're there on the site, because this is really special.
Zeolite is an incredible mineral that is known as what's called the master binder. And what that means is it's known to pick up every type of forever chemical, toxin, toxic heavy metal there is, including fluoride. So when you see charcoal or carbon or clays for binders, you don't see that they will pick up fluoride. Zeolite's different. Zeolite also gets the fluoride. That's a very big deal. It is great at removing these environmental toxins from our body. Masterpiece is the highest grade sea mineral plasma solution. It is basically isotonic, the same mineral composition as your blood plasma. So the sea minerals are being carried in by the nanometer, sub-nanometer size clinoptilolite zeolite. And once the toxin hits the zeolite, it releases and displaces the mineral. People don't feel bad. There's no normal detoxing reaction.
Everybody needs to go to getmasterpiece.com. You get 10% off by using that URL automatic when you go. There's promo code Alex as well. Getmasterpiece.com.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle. AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today. The Patriots' choice and globalists' dread. Welcome to the Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on the Alex Jones Network. Your host, Royce White, in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we are here on the 4th of July weekend, year 250. A lot to celebrate, of course. We have a great nation, that's done a great many things in a short 250-year run. The greatest nation, the greatest empire in human history in only 250 years. There's a lot to celebrate in that. There's a lot to be proud of. And we have to be critical and continue to fight for a more perfect union while still being grateful for everything we have. There's nothing wrong with both. There's nothing wrong with you know, both things being true. And that's kind of what our founding fathers envisioned for us anyway, is that we could strive to be the best that we are, that we could possibly be. We could strive to be the best we can be while still being honest about our flaws, our shortcomings. Great. Fine. That's what we have to do now, right? It's like, okay, we got problems, big problems. Problem number one, United States Supreme Court, problem numero uno, and it's not even a close second. Numero, yeah, Marxism, Sharia law, I got it. Check, check. Not even, of course, right? Not a debate. Number one functional issue. Number one technical issue. Institutional issue. Number one mechanism problem. United States Supreme Court. These people are not playing on the up and up. Let's say, let's just be specific, okay? Amy Coney Barrett, Chief Justice Roberts, not playing on the up and up. Liberals, traitors. I think the traitors. But hey, you know, I'm the extreme one in the group. I think they're traitors. And I think the right thing for us to do when this is all said and done, when the smoke clears, when President Trump finally gets up the courage, you know, the amount of courage that we really shouldn't even ask him to have at 80, right? Because when our founding fathers built this country, these men were in their 30s. Men are naturally a lot different in their 80s than they are in their 30s, especially if you grew up on a pre-RFK Jr. American diet. Don't look too good at 80. And President Trump's no different. I mean, what he's been able to do so far is world-beating for 80. But come on, right? And so still, we ask him to do this incredible thing, and maybe he will, maybe he doesn't, but he definitely should. And that is just take the country, man. Just do it already. We're waiting. We're all sitting here. We all got our popcorn. We're waiting. We're locked and loaded. You know, we're by our television, just waiting for the announcement. Just do it already. What are you going to argue with Amy Coney Barrett, the liberal white woman, for how long and about what? Birthright citizenship? We're going to let the Chinese Communist Party or the, you know, our Gulf partners, even the Europeans, we're going to let them dump their citizens into our country on H-1B work visas or whatever other, you know, whatever other loophole? Seriously? And we're not toning anything down. We need to restart the mass deportations. We're not toning it down one bit. Great. We celebrate. Sing kumbaya. America is, you know, a beautiful country, a great country, accomplished a great many things, the red, white, and the blue. Amen. Praise be to God. You know, I love it. But we better start kicking in some doors here, or this country ain't going to be a country much longer. I mean, we're right there. We're right on the edge. President Trump's starting to play with the, you know, with the real. He is. He's starting to go there. He's saying these communists are making a play. They made the play. They made the play. They're rounding third base. We better get real serious about that. They didn't bunt. They didn't lay down a bunt. They didn't hit a ground ball. Okay. You know, they hit a strategic pop fly and they're tagging up and they're rounding third. They had a man on second. They hit a strategic pop fly to deep right field, and they're tagging up, and they're going for, they're rounding third. They got a huge, huge lead, an insane lead off that second base, and they're about to round third and come home, and our catcher's going to get the ball, and these people have no intention on playing nice. He's going to run through, and he, you know, like one of those schoolyard baseball games, he's going to take off and missile drop kick the catcher right in the face mask, because that's the way they were trained to play. And right now it seems like we're sitting back, you know, we're going to get, have that big cartoon like dent in the front of that face mask and whatnot. And we're going to, you know, get up, dirt all over our back, face mask twisted, you know, huge dent, the face mask is pushed it all the way to the side of your head and go, that's not fair. Well, that's not part of the rules. And the umpire's sitting there going, rules? There are no rules. What are you thinking? There are no rules. Rules are pay me. Pay me, sucker. Those are the rules. And you know what? We just don't pay as well as the communists. We just don't pay as well. For a capitalist country, we sure don't have too many capitalists. There aren't a lot of capitalists left. You know? And I said this before. I think people looked at me like I had three eyes or something, a horn sticking out of my head. I go, when the... I said, oh, I think it was on this show. I said, when your number one export is your currency, which fundamentally means that the number one thing you produce is money, which is already a dirty, rotten scam. But okay, the number one thing you produce is money. Money's at the center of your industrial and consumer-based society. And then you use this economic Ponzi scheme called fractional reserve banking in an institution like the Federal Reserve to socialize all the financial risk when the capitalist countries and corporations, no pun intended, when these country corporations fail, you're a socialist country. You're a communist country. You're not a socialist country. You're just a communist country. And so, you know, we just don't pay as well as these communists do. And we got to get serious about. So what is our strategy? Is our strategy to try and win elections? You know, oh my goodness, Michelle Tafoya can raise a lot of money. It's like, what are you even saying? What do you guys think that's saying? That's what I'm interested in. What do people actually think is meant by a candidate being able to raise a lot of money in a society where we all pretty much agree? I mean, across party lines, we agree that money is a problem in our elections and in our society writ large. Big money, special interest, lobby money, corrupt money, dark money. We all agree that the money is causing a huge problem. So I don't really understand what people mean when they start to clap like seals when a candidate can raise a lot of money. That's a red flag, or at least it should be. In a sane society, a candidate who raised a lot of money would raise red flags. But, you know, we talk out of both sides of our mouth. And that's what I'm really so frustrated with. Year 250, day one, year 250. I'm just sick of people talking out of both sides of their mouth. I just talk straight down the middle, right? It's like President Trump, cut the nonsense. Stop arguing with the Supreme Court. Don't even ask them. Separation of powers? Are you kidding me? Why are we even playing this game? Why are we even entertaining this nonsense? It makes me think everybody's in on it. Honestly, I mean, maybe I'm in a strange loop or something. Maybe this is the Matrix. Maybe this is a simulation, right? Because God could still be real. Maybe God is real above the simulation. You know, maybe God created the place where the simulation comes from. Who knows? I don't know. Now, I think it's heretical to really, really think that and believe that. I believe that God is real and Jesus Christ is our Lord and Savior. But I would be lying if I didn't wake up sometimes and go, are these people even real? Like Michelle Tafoya, is that a real person? Amy Coney Barrett, is that a real person? Does anybody else get that sense? Sometimes you wake up in the morning, you turn on your television, you go to your phone, you look up the news, and maybe you're out and about. And you see a 6'3" man with a pink halter top, a plaid skirt, knee-high socks, private school patent leather shoes, private school girl patent leather shoes, pigtails, and hair on his chest and back. I mean, does anybody else out there go, are these people real? It's super weird. And it's getting stranger by the minute. And we all still kind of participate in it, which is even more weird. It's like, how many times are we going to come to the mess hall at night and pretend that there's not a huge, that there's not a giant standing in the middle of the room, you know, ass naked? How many nights in a row are we going to come to the mess hall and not talk about this 25-foot giant standing in the middle of this room, butt naked? What is going on here? It's ridiculous. Say it. Just say it. Say it. The Supreme Court, they're traitors. There's a few traitors. There's a few good. Clarence Thomas, patriot. Alito, patriot. Kavanaugh, squishy at best. Squishy at best. The rest of them, they're all traitors. So you have a minority. You have a minority, legitimate Supreme Court. And so all the subsidiary courts are fruit from the same poisonous tree. How long you guys want to play this game? Because I'll tell you one thing, they can play the game. They can play this game all day long. They can play this game all day. They don't have a problem playing. This is perfect for them. They're having a blast. The game is designed for them. The house always wins. And then they give us some low-hanging fruit. They throw us a bone, some brittle bone, some piece of dog crap bone. We big win, keeping the men out of women's sports. That should go without saying. That's not a political, that's not even a real issue. That's not even a real thing. Keeping the men out of women's sports. That goes without saying. Or it should. The fact that we, the people, have to view that Supreme Court decision as any type of significant political victory tells us the entire problem. It's us, it's you, it's me, it's President Trump. President Trump, with all due respect, love you. Not holding my breath for an endorsement here, you know, just every Tom, Dick, and Muhammad. From here to Delano, you know, is 100% never Trump, rhino, just shill for the status quo. And it's, you know, Michelle Tafoya is like their, you know, she's like the darling of the center right, which is gay, super gay, right? They called me the, you know, Royce White is a black face for white supremacy. He's a darling of the alt-right. It's not the alt-right, I'm just right. I'm just right, right over the effing target is what I am. Just right. Not alt-right. And I'm nobody's darling. I tell people the way it is. This is just how it is. Michelle Tafoya, darling of the alt-right. No, sorry. Darling of the center-right. Gay. Super gay. It's just gay. The whole motif. It's like, well, she can win if she, you know, we got to convince these suburban white women. What? Convince them of what exactly? Convince them to take their husband's balls out of their purses? Convince them that maybe men do have some utility in life? Convince them that the entire organizing principle of their political philosophy should not be that men, white Christian men or America as a nation with borders is the crux of their problem in their life? No, you're unhappy because you're a narcissist. You're not pleasant to be around. You think the world revolves around you. And you have stupid politics. You don't live in reality with logic or common sense. And it's really hard to be around people like that. It's really difficult to be around people who have zero logic and or no common sense. Really difficult. As much as some middle white American men, and I'm not just saying a white American men because it's across every race and creed, but I know there are a lot of men who put up with it because the sexual marketplace is so unstable in our society. But nonetheless, they're not happy. And it breaks my heart to say it really does. I hold no quarter for these people because I find you too weak to sustain a nation. But it breaks my heart to be at a state fair, the Minnesota State Fair. I'm outside the DFL booth. This is the Minnesota Democratic Party, Democratic Farmer Laborers Union. It's what it really is. But I'm outside of their booth at the state fair, and I'm just asking people questions as they come by. Men, I'm saying to them, what are your top issues? And several 70%, I'm going to say, conservatively, 70% of the men who I asked their top issue at the Minnesota DFL State Fair booth said women's reproductive rights. What? You know? Okay. All right, dude. Like, your girl's not listening, dude. She's over there. She's over there at the corn dog stand. You know, she's giving a wink and a nod to the black guy with the dreadlocks who's serving corn dogs over there. She's not even in earshot. And you're over here saying women's reproductive rights is your number one issue. Where are you? Where is your sense of sacred honor to your country, to your fellow men, to yourself, to your children, to your posterity? Where is your sense of legacy, of civic duty? Patriotism. You're just going to throw it all. And this is America. We're obsessed with women in this country. And not in a good way. Not in a good way. Not in a Sean Connery kind of cool way. Not in a James Bond way. You know? James Bond had a cool kind of relationship and you know, some slight obsession with women. We're not the cool James Bond character in this play. We are, I don't even know what's a good character. Help me out there in the audience. Let's think of some, you know, some motifs of characters in American cinematic, history that we're that guy. We're just throwing our country in the, I mean, in what world? And you think about, just think about Minnesota. Minnesota's a perfect microcosm. I guess we're going to, as much as we're moving to a country where white people are going to suddenly vanish because we want to, you know, systematically weed them out. I mean, as far as the left's ideology goes, they want to get rid of white men. I mean, their goal is pretty brazen. It's like, we're going to get rid of all the white men. Whoa. Well, what about the white liberal men? We'll get rid of them last. Because that's what you do to a cuck. You use him, and then when he's no longer useful, it's sayonara, sucker. Right? But that's pretty much their organizing philosophy. We're going to get rid of the white men. Okay. I just sit here and I think to myself, why in a place like Minnesota are the majority of the elected officials women anyway? Of our statewide elected officials, the majority of them are two senators, women, congresswomen. You got three women on the Democratic side. Lieutenant governor's a woman. You got a governor who is half a fag. So, I mean, hey, what do I say about that, even? Tim Walz, I mean, he's about as light in his loafers as you could possibly get, so does he really count? Keith Ellison? Keith Ellison's effeminate at best, you know, but even him, he you know. You got one guy, okay? One guy, you know, the mayor, Jacob Frey, he's running around the Minnesota Pride Parade with Daisy Dukes in a tank top. Woman, where are the men in Minnesota? Where are the men? And I'm not talking about the elected officials, but they represent the people. And we just have an obsession with women in Minnesota that is profound. A profound obsession, an unhealthy obsession with women. And I think it's nationwide. And I think it is more on the men than it is on the women. I think it's a complete failure of masculinity, and I think it came right through the courts. And I think people like Amy Coney Barrett and Justice Roberts are the source code of the whole problem. I said this the other day on my show, and people, you know, I don't think people liked it, but it's the truth. It's like radical feminism, the courts and jurisprudence in this country has become a pretext for a radical feminist takeover. That's just what it is. By rule of law and by cultural consensus in the court of public opinion. On both fronts, we are living in a radical feminist takeover where in some strange set of circumstances, women are willing to give up their Christian tradition, their own heritage for radical Islam that A, doesn't like them, B, would never give them freedom or equality. They don't even pretend to have equality for women in Islamic culture. They don't even pretend. They don't even try and hide it. It's not equal. There ain't nothing equal about men and women in our culture. I don't understand why we continue to argue with the, and then I get Republicans who say, well, you gotta win over the suburban white women. Those white women? The white women who would much rather live under Islamic jihad? It's completely as diametrically opposed to their own self-purported political views. They don't live in reality. These people do not live in the same reality as us. You cannot spend a lot of time arguing with people who do not live in reality. But, you know, maybe that's part of the the sadomasochism. Maybe we feel a sense of, we feel a sense of something by sitting there talking to the homeless guy on the corner who's not even coherent. We're making ourselves feel better, right? You stop, you give that homeless guy on the corner a couple of bucks. It makes you feel like you've done a good thing, you know, and he's going to get alcohol with it. And it's like, well, you know, do what you want with it, man. I did my part. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. You didn't do anything. It actually equals nothing is what you did. It was a decent gesture is what it was at best, but it ain't amounting to nothing. In fact, you might be hurting them. And then if you got to think about this, the tax revolt should be on. Number one, let's just make that clear. The tax revolt, even with President Trump doing no tax on tips, no tax on Social Security, no tax on overtime. Even with that, but the tax revolt should still be on. Overcharged for what they did to the Cold Crush, as the satanic rapper Jay-Z once said, that don't make up for it. No property tax, no state income tax in a place like Minnesota. But the tax revolt should be on. Imagine you pull up to a stoplight and you give a couple of dollars to a homeless guy. And then you go home and you pay your taxes. And the government actually takes your tax money and tells you that it's efficacious to give homeless people clean syringes in places like Minnesota so their overdoses don't overwhelm the social local infrastructure like the hospitals, but then let unlimited illegal immigrants come to the hospital. I just found this out the other day. I found out some people go to the hospital and just check Hispanic on the forms. Like, you can go to a hospital. This is fucking crazy. You can go to a hospital and give them a fake name. In a place like Minnesota, you can go to a hospital, give them a fake Hispanic name, tell them you're undocumented. They will treat you. And of course, you're never going to get a bill. Because who are we going to bill? And the rest of us are paying for that? What has happened to this country? What has happened to this great nation of ours? You're watching the Alex Jones Show here on the Alex Jones Network. I'm Royce White, your guest host in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. We'll be right back in a moment. Stay tuned.
Jones is off the air.
There's a lot of noise right now.
Taking me off the air. It is beyond essential that you continue to spread the word about the broadcast and continue to support us.
That's usually when it matters most, to have people in your corner who don't flinch. We've been a partner of this program and of Alex's for a long time.
I'm handing out ice water in the Sahara. I mean, it is such the top rated, the biggest company, because they're the best, and he's a patriot.
We're not going anywhere, and that commitment runs to you. Here's the part that matters. With us, it's 8% when you buy and 0% when you sell. And here's something else. After you make your first purchase and become a client, if you're holding metals you bought somewhere else, bring them to us. We'll help you liquidate them. No commission. That means even if you didn't originally buy them from us, we'll still take care of you. That's not a promotion. It's not something that's for a limited time only. That's just the way we do business. Give us a call and we'll bend over backwards to help you.
Visit kepm.com/gold to get started. Or give us a call at 720-605-3900. And let us help you make room for what matters most.
Spot price of the metal in the ground. Manufacturers, miners haven't even touched it yet. Then they pull the metal out of the ground. They dig their tunnels. They drive it to the refinery. They melt it down, make it into a coin or a bar. That's wholesale. That's usually 3 to 5% over spot. We charge 8% on top of wholesale. When you liquidate, we charge zero.
Buy gold and silver bullion at wholesale. You can look every day what the price is, type in what's wholesale gold and silver, and then you get it from them with a little processing fee, and then they buy it back for nothing with no cost. That's unprecedented. It's so easy. KPM.com/gold. Get a free telephone consultation email. You can call 720-605-3900. 720-605-3900.
If any current research is going on, and if it's conducted in any comparable level of secrecy to the original MK Ultra, it's very deeply secret.
But one thing you said, though, it's going to be hard for Congress to act when they're so dadgum compromised. Let's just be honest.
So we hear about MK Ultra all day. Even Dr. Kinzer points out this is just a tiny piece of it.
There have been enormous advances in cyber technology, in artificial intelligence, in neuroscience. Covert agencies may have access now to tools for mind control that Sidney Gottlieb could not even have imagined.
To get somebody to blow up a bus full of children or a building full of innocent civilians, you have to grind it into their minds. You have to wash their brains and tell them there's a higher cause out there. It's religious, ethnic, racial, whatever. And for that higher cause, you can disregard all the normal rules of morality.
This is all under one umbrella because it all feeds into one each other, because the whole agenda, the whole goal was to conquer the human mind and the subconscious. Because if you can do that, you can basically control and rule the world and manipulate whatever scenarios you want.
One of the most famous testing sites was the Allen Memorial Institute, or the Ravenscrag, at McGill University in Montreal. These top secret experiments and procedures were led by Sidney Gottlieb, the United States spymaster and mad chemist who financed and developed, quote, techniques that would crush the human psyche to the point that it would admit anything.
Correspondence between West and Dr. Sidney Gottlieb, the architect of MKUltra. He announced that he had learned how to replace true memories with false memories in people without their knowledge. In other words, he clarified, it has been found to be feasible to take the memory of a definite event in the life of an individual and, through hypnotic suggestion, bring about the subsequent conscious recall to the effect that this event never actually took place, but that a different fictional event actually did occur. If West's report was accurate, this was not the failure agency officials described in 1977, quite the opposite. It was, in fact, the central ambition of the MKUltra operation, the means of gaining the ability to seize the control of a person's perceptions, memories, and ultimately their behavior.
The goal of Project Bluebird was to train subjects through hypnosis and behavior modification so that it would be impossible for enemies of the United States to extract vital information. The goal of Project Artichoke was to examine if a human is capable of attempting an assassination without hesitation. Methods used include hypnosis, forced substance addiction, and forced substance withdrawal. MKUltra, the final evolution of its 1940s predecessors, employed a variety of techniques to influence the minds and brains of its subject.
I recently have a client who, at the age of 14, was recruited in the Long Beach area, and she was being taken to a Navy base, and they were, she can describe the path, describe everything very intrinsically, and talks about how they were putting her in CT scan machines, hooking her head up to wires, having her just think about processes, and they were capturing all this data. Next thing you know, she was being put on military aircraft and taking to overseas in the Middle East. And at a very young age, she was made into an assassin.
I was in D.C. about 6 years ago with a bunch of former top Navy SEALs and Delta Force. These are some of these guys are famous, and they said, I was talking about this. They go, listen, a couple of years ago we were on a mission for months guarding this base in Africa, a U.S. base, where they had all these gifted children with all of this stuff. It was all classified, but it was all sorts of magnetic waves. They were implanting them with stuff. They were saying, yeah, that they had seen that. And so that's how widespread all of this is. And what you pioneered, what they admit now is, It's the chips and now the liquid chips and the nanotech. It's not just they're hitting them with waves. They have been filled with this. And they had a Donald Pleasanton was in a BBC show in the 60s.
We call these things surgical transmitters. One was fitted inside you when you went into the Charing Cross Hospital 3 years ago. Appendix, wasn't it?
Anybody telling you not to be proud of your American heritage is insane. Or they're a globalist technocrat trying to gaslight you into not loving your country and your heritage because they don't want you to stand up for it, because the American ideals of the revolution and what we've done together has changed the world, and tyrants and systems of political oppression worldwide can't compete against the American system. That's why for the 250th anniversary of our republic, this July 4th, for just 3 days, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, we're having the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. Up to 60% off on the supplements. All the best sellers are buy one, get one free. Methylene Blue, Bovine Colostrum, Shilajit, you name it. And the Patriot Apparel, the widest selection, some of the best designs, up to 50% off. TheAlexJonesStore.com. The tip of the spear. It funds our operation as we fight the globalists, and the products are amazing. So celebrate the 4th with me right now at TheAlexJonesStore.com, and I thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. Live from Austin, Texas, you're listening to The Alex Jones Show.
Welcome back to The Alex Jones Show. I'm your guest host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And happy 4th of July. Again, to everybody out there all across the country. Deeply grateful for the nation that we have, despite its many flaws. Before the break, I was just saying, I just think we're obsessed with women. This whole Supreme Court decision, this birthright citizenship deal, it tells you everything you need to know. Everything you need to know is right there. Our Supreme Court does not believe in the sovereignty of our nation and does not regard the asymmetrical war that we're in with other countries as legitimate, as a real threat, as a serious threat. It's like, all right, well, if the Supreme Court really wants to pretend that they're the adjudicator in the separation of powers and that's their sole role, national security is not really their line of country, then they're just telling the President of the United States to take drastic measures, and the rest of the country, a good portion of the rest of the country, is sitting back waiting for anybody, a President Trump, but it could be anybody, to take extreme measures so they can do exactly what women do a lot of times in fights with their husbands and boyfriends and say, see, I told you he was abusive. Look at him. He's angry. Yeah, no, we're angry. And we have every right to be angry. And we have every right to express the anger. And if us telling you to mass deport 20 million foreign invaders is the height of our expression of anger, you should count yourself lucky. Lucky. And that goes to the sneakos of the world, too. If the height of our expression, if the height of our expression of anger is to say to all you stupid Muslims who think you're going to take this country, you better pack yourself for lunch because we're getting this close. I'm telling you now, we're this close to going to the mattresses on you folks. You should count yourself lucky. Seriously. Count yourself lucky that enough of us still believe in those founding documents and those words that were written down 250 years ago enough to allow any tolerance for Islam in this country whatsoever. Count yourself lucky. This is my interpretation that the Constitution was always intended to be amended. The question is, what are the right amendments and for what reasons? And yes, it is relative to time. And the left tries to use this as a Trojan horse in the conversation or the debate with us and say, well, if you can modify the Constitution anytime you want, why not get rid of the second? And it's right there. We know who you people are. When the first thing you go to get rid of, go to NICS, is the Second Amendment, we know what you're up to. And we're not doing it. That's all. Or at least that should be our position. We don't have to play this zero-sum political debate game with these communist liars. Every time they say they want to get rid of the Second Amendment, they want to limit our ability to bear arms, all they're telling you is they're gearing up for the tyranny. That's it. It's real simple. It's not rocket science. It's not political science. It's common sense. We can look at history, and history will tell us. Every time a government or a political movement goes to disarm people, we know what they're aiming for. We know what they want. We know what they're after. And to even create a false equivalency between our Second Amendment rights and birthright citizenship for H-1B visa workers further tells you what they're after. And we should be no budge, not a single inch on both issues. We're not giving up our Second Amendment rights, and we will. We should amend the Constitution if need be to ensure that this nation's enemies, which are many, aren't able to use the rule of law, our own ideas, our own beliefs and core principles against us. That's just prudent leadership. That's called being an adult. You know, it's like your mom loves you, but she catches you lying. She goes, you're trying to take advantage of my soft spot for you. And you may catch a beating. In fact, if you take advantage of your mother's soft spot and soft heart for you, you will often find the wrath to be to be much more than that of your father. Usually it's the boys, sometimes it's the girls, and you come home. Many times I've been on the phone with, or came home, or was over at a friend's house, and one of the girls catches a beating from mom because she's just crossed that line, and it's everybody in the house like, whoa, you know, because the girls usually don't get disciplined the same way as the boys. But the boys, it's interesting, fathers usually can intuit the mischief of a young boy because, you know, genetics are something else, and you can see a lot of your kid in you. And that doesn't mean that you tolerate or you allow for it, but it just doesn't surprise you as much. Moms kind of have a blind, a blind naivety about their sons, hence the cultural term mama's boys, right? And so when mom finally catches wind that the boy is really trying to take advantage of her soft spot, hell and fury comes down, usually. To even where, you know, dad sometimes had to be, hey, it's, you know, all right, that, you know, that's enough, right? But that's where we're at in this country. You know, I'm just using it as an example. That's where we are right now. We should be hopping pissed off, you know, we should just be almost off the reservation with some of this stuff. What are we waiting on? What are you waiting on, President Trump? What are we waiting on? Waiting on BB to give us the okay? Wait, what's the deal here? I don't understand it. Where's Kushner and Witkoff now? Where's everybody at? Let's get the boys together and see who really supports President Trump. Let's get all the boys together. Let's ask Michelle Tafoya, under what circumstances would she be able to justify an expansion of the executive powers, of the Article II powers, because our nation is currently at war from within. Let's ask a Michelle Tafoya. Go ask her. If you're here in the audience and you're watching this evening, I challenge you to go ask Michelle Tafoya on X or wherever else she's on social media, you know, and say, hey, what circumstances would you see an Abraham Lincoln or a Jeffersonian type of approach to executive power expansion? Ask all of them. Ask Mark Levin. Ask any of them. They will tell you exactly who they are. They will tell you exactly who they are and what their real motivation is with that single question. Tell me, show me, hypothetical me, theoretical me, the set of circumstances with which you would say a man, whether it be President Trump or somebody else, is justified in expanding the executive powers of the executive branch, the scope of the executive branch, the Article II powers, because we were at war. What type of war would need to break out for you Christian Zionists to see a President Trump take the same type of powers that Bibi Netanyahu had taken. What would you need to see? Huh? What needs to happen here, folks? You find out who people are real quick. So you got to do is ask the right questions. You ask the right questions, you find out about people real fast. And that's what I'm saying. I mean, I'm just at that point with it here at 250. Oh, celebration. Oh, the fireworks are great. Woohoo! Everybody loves fireworks. I love them. They were popping off in the parking lot by my house last night. I was like, damn, people still love America. That's good. Those fireworks, is almost motion almost should well up inside of you. Like, damn, people still, despite all of their efforts, people still love this country. Praise be to God. USA. God bless America. But, you know, now the celebration is worn off on me. And the first day of our 250th year, President Trump, you got to just take the government, my man. You got to do it. Do it. Submit your legacy. Do the thing that we all know needs to be done. We all know what needs to happen. It's not insurrection. You can't give your government and country to people who don't want to have a country. That's just basic. You know, if I came here on a spaceship a thousand years from now and was like, why the hell did they ever let that woman? And I don't say because it's a woman. I'm just saying that woman, like Kamala Harris or Michelle Tafoya, for that matter, Ilhan Omar, Jasmine Crockett, AOC. It's all fruit from the same poisonous tree. Why on earth did all of those men let those women run their country? What the hell was going on there? Was it the atrazine in the water? I don't know. I more or less drunk the same water as everybody else most of my life. You know, maybe I have enough testosterone to combat the effects of the atrazine or whatever's going on. And we better look for those folks. The folks, the men who are still men, despite the atrazine, we better prop them up. We better support them. We better push them to the front, and we better get behind them. Because when I find like a guy like Mom Don, it's like even his entire persona is gay. It really is. Stupid gay communist. Stupid gay Muslim communist, which is just like the oxymoron of it is profound in and of itself. But that's what he is. Stupid gay Muslim communist. And it's like, when did that become cool? You can't let the goth in the, you can't let the goth kids take over the school. Rule number one at school when we were coming up is like, as soon as the goth kid tried to climb to the top of the social hierarchy, he's catching a beating. You know, you could say that that's bullying or whatever the case may be, but we weren't going to allow the sentiment, the psychological instability, the weirdness of the goth kid to prevail throughout the entire school. Everybody hear me out there? Do not let the goth kids take over the school. They're weird. And it's right to call them weird. It's like you don't let the home ec teacher become the principal. Why? So, cooking's great. Everybody loves to bake a good cake. Great. But they tend to be real, eclectic. You know, the home ec teacher was kind of like this eclectic chick who wore a bohemian dress and she had those, you know, the long curly blowout. I don't know. Maybe it's just my school, but you don't let her run the whole school because you already know that she's not going to be hard on the knuckleheads. Right? That's why we took home ec. We took home ec because we could go to the girls we liked and we're setting up the deals and, you know, we're doing our thing in home ec. Home ec is you go to that hardcore German math teacher's class and you pull that nonsense in his class, like, go to the principal's office. We don't got time for that. We got to do math. And some of us dropped out of math. When we got to calculus, I was like, all right, I'm out. I'm done. No disrespect to my mathematicians out there. I was good at math, But as soon as you had to take an entire two sides of a single piece of notebook paper to do one problem, to write out one problem, I was out. I'm done. This is ridiculous. It's taking up too much time. I wish I'd go back and not think that way. That wasn't the right way to think about things. But I excelled at other things. I was disciplined and meticulous and rigorous about other things. But, you know, history for one, religion for one, world studies, English, science. These were things that I excelled. These are things I excelled because I like to do them. And you know what? We all have different things we like. Math, it's necessary. I'm not saying that we don't need math. What I'm saying is, for me, when we got to need a whole notebook for one problem, you know, save it for Matt Damon and Good Will Hunting, okay? Not my deal. Not my line of country. Don't want to work for NASA. Don't want to work for SpaceX. It's just me. But I also don't want to work for stupid gay communists. And we're all working for stupid gay communists when you give a stupid gay communist control of the capital of capitalism, which makes you as stupid as him, which makes us as stupid as him. And they should literally, again, federal ban, Marxism, Sharia law, they should roll into their New York City and just arrest him. And everybody's like, they hear that and they go, what are you saying? What do you mean? What am I saying? What do you mean? How many times do we have to see communism, socialism, and Marxism fail in government for us to say, you know what? We're not going to let that's off limits. How many times? Does it have to fail up close? Does it have to fail up? You know, speaking of July 4th, if you ever want to see something that's quite incredible, go watch a video of a guy holding a firecracker in his hand. Little firecracker. You know, little tiny black cat. Light it. You throw it. Makes a little black mark on the sidewalk. Maybe. If it's, you know, if it's a good one. Take the same firecracker. You hold it in your hand. Don't have a hand anymore. See, now a smart person can see that and never need to try it out. A person with common sense and sanity can see somebody else come across a bad outcome, come to a bad outcome, and never need to try it for themselves. Some people, sane people, people with common sense. As a nation, we're that dumbass kid. As a people, let's not say the nation. Let's not blame the nation. You know, because to blame the nation is like to blame Christ for the way Christians act. To blame America, to blame our founding fathers, to blame the ideas that helped build this country for the way we act today is the same as blaming Christ for the way that Christians act. There's nothing vaguely appropriate about that. Nothing vaguely appropriate about that. Let's not blame the nation. Let's just talk about us. We the people. We're that dumbass kid that has to go up and touch that live wire anyway and get ourselves shocked before we say, oh, that's a live wire. That's Mom Donnie. He's a live wire. Live, stupid, gay, communist, Muslim wire. And we just want to touch it. We just want to go up and get close to it and see. We just want to see. We just want to see what's happening, you know? We see like 7 or 8 squad cars down the street. We want to roll up and let's see what's going on down there. I'm going that way. I don't need to go down there. I don't live down there. My cousins don't live down there. My girlfriend doesn't live down there. My kid's school isn't down there. I don't work down there. I got no business down that street. I'm not going to see what's going on down there. I don't need to be a part of it. Not my deal. Everybody wants to try out communism, it would seem. So much so, I post these things on Facebook about communism, and you can tell that communism is the real threat by the triggered responses of the leftists. Here in Minnesota, ever since ICE came rolling through here and punked out, rolled out is what they did. They rolled out. And look what happens when ICE rolls out. You get this Hmong guy, Vang, who is a pedophile. They let him out. I think he got pardoned, if I'm not mistaken, in the last few days. Got pardoned and, you know, admitted to the government or the prosecutor or whoever that, you know, that's normal in his country. That's normal where he came from. Is it? We need to close our borders to those countries. It's not about COVID or any other, supercharged dengue virus. No, maybe we need to close our country to other countries and people who have a normalized pedophilia. Oh, wait. We have that here. Huh. Ah. Starting to see a theme. Do what needs to be done. That's all. Arrest the deep state mass deportations. Arrest the deep state mass deportations. Secure the elections. Mass deportations. Arrest the deep state. Secure the elections. Secure the elections. Arrest the deep state mass deportations. How many other ways can I say it? How many other ways do we need to say it? The Supreme Court's illegitimate. They've delegitimized themselves with this birthright citizenship ruling. The Supreme Court has just delegitimized itself because it does not believe in the sovereignty of this great nation. And it's almost like a slap in the face that before our 250th year celebration, they would betray this country the way that they did. It's almost like a slap in the face, almost like a nan and a boo-boo. It's the same stupid gay thing that women do to their boyfriends, that the Muslims are doing to the Christians all around the world. You poke and you poke and you poke and you disrespect and you cross the boundaries and you push the envelope. And all of a sudden, when somebody goes off on you, and they don't even have to get violent or physical with you. And this is the thing about the Overton window. They make it seem like for you to write a strongly worded letter is fascist. We haven't even got to the part where I punch your teeth down your throat. We haven't even made it to that vector of the violence. We haven't even made it to that vector yet. Where I ball my fist up and I unload 3 clean shots and knock your teeth down the back of your throat because they got caught in your small intestine. We ain't got there yet. They don't even like the strongly worded letters. They think the language is harmful. I look at our competitors, our future opponents like China and Russia and whoever else out there. And I think we are going to get steamrolled. We are going to, if we're going to let the Mamdanis prance around here, we are going to get steamrolled by our enemies. So what is it all for? What is the fight for if we're not going to actually do what needs to be done? And we all know what needs to be done. The Supreme Court giving us some fake win about men and women. Who cares about that? Who cares? That's the central issue. And it is. It is. And I'm not saying the transmania is not a big issue because it is a great litmus test, but it shouldn't be a litmus test for jurisprudence. The jurisprudence should have already taken into account the common sense need to demarcate sane functioning society from these radical lunatics. The fact we even have to spend any time on it is a red flag for the overall state of our union. Watching the Alex Jones Show here on the Alex Jones Network. I'm in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Your guest host, Royce White, failed communist state. We'll be right back in a moment. Stay tuned.
Celebrate America's 250th birthday. The biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com is live right now, but only for 3 days. I was 2 years old in 1976 when America celebrated its 200th anniversary. Well, I'm 52 now, and it's the 250th. No republic, no empire, no
nation has ever survived more than 250 years. But America has to survive. The idea of America, private property, the right to lead your own life, to follow your own religion or not, so many things that this country enshrined that no other nation had became the model of the world. That's why the left, why BlackRock, why the globalists, why the WEF, why the UN openly want to discredit it. The elites don't like the idea of America because it allows the little people to have meritocracy and develop their own wealth and their own independence. The globalists want neo-feudalism. They want serfdom. They want a great reset to control us. So they've been trying to undermine this country, demonize this country, and blame all the problems in the world on the freedom of America and the West and Christianity and white people. But it's not working. The world is awakening to the Great Reset, and we are in the Great Awakening. That's why it's so important on our 250th anniversary that we remember what made America great and that we continue those values on in the face of tyranny. Because the idea is we're promoting work and are pro-human, are dynamic, and unleash the incredible competition of the human spirit and meritocracy. If we don't stand up for not just 1776 here in the U.S., but worldwide, then we allow the globalists, the megabanks, with their transhumanist, death cult, depopulation agenda to come in and sell their lie of collectivism, universal basic incomes, cashless society, control grids, the social credit scores, and the entire system of dehumanization that they're establishing. We are literally facing freedom or slavery. It's a choice we must take. So to celebrate this 250th anniversary, we have the biggest sale in the history of the AlexJonesStore.com. 50% off on all of the incredible Patriot apparel. The widest selection, some of the best designs in the world. What an adventure to wear this apparel and meet like-minded people and spread the word. And then most importantly, the very best game-changing five-star supplements on the planet. Up to 60% off. And all the best sellers are buy one, get one free. This Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, it's a flash sale. Ultramethylene Blue, the best on the market. Buy one, get one free. Bovine Colostrum, the best, highest rate on the market. Buy one, get one free. Shilajit Complex, that has all these natural peptides and boost your testosterone and more. Buy one, get one free. As I said, up to 60% off on all the other supplements. The lowest is 40. The highest is 60. These are insanely good. All you've got to do is try them. We have over a 90% reorder rate at thealexjonesstore.com. And anyone who's shopping on the site should be a VIP. Cancel anytime. It's $30 a month. Instantly when you're charged, $40 is put in your account to spend on the site. You make $10, special deals, special offers, and sales on top of the sales, making a bunch of stuff loss leaders if you're a VIP. So become a VIP, commit to the American Republic in the year 2026. Help keep the broadcast on the air so we can expand the Alex Jones Network. It's a win-win. So to celebrate America and to stand against the globalist death cult, please support your own future and my future, our collective future together, by individual action at thealexjonesstore.com. Happy birthday, America. I salute all of our founders, our veterans, and all the patriots out there. God bless you all.
Days, weeks, and even years ahead of the news cycle, AlexJonesLive.com is tomorrow's news today.
Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show. I'm your host here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Royce White, your host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. You're watching the Alex Jones Network. Sobering 4th of July, our 250th year, and we have a chance. I mean, there's a narrow window here. It's weird. It's like, you know, you warn your children of all the bad things that could go on when they leave the house. And sometimes they go and they test the waters anyway, and they survive it. They make it. And they give themselves the false sense of belief or security that, oh, maybe it's not that dangerous. There's this crazy story about, it's like, I was a guy when I was coming up in high school, never messed with drugs at all. Smoked marijuana one time, had a bad anxiety attack, never smoked marijuana again because, hey, didn't like the way it felt, but never tried any illicit drugs. And there was a story that used to go around, that was around even when I was coming through high school, about a kid named Len Bias, who was supposed to be the guy, you know, one of those young men who had the hype prospect of a LeBron James, that type of once in a generation talent. Now, was Len Bias going to pan out to be one of the top 50, top 75, top 10 players of all time? Who knows? Who knows? I'm not sure. I've seen a lot of guys come through with a lot of hype, and people thought they were going to be the greatest thing since sliced bread. And for whatever reason, they either still haven't or won't hit that mark of where people thought they would be. One of them is like Zion Williamson. Very good player. Super talented. Supernatural in the things that he can do. Scary athleticism. And doing very well in the NBA, might I add. But, I mean, they thought he was the next big thing. And that just hasn't really panned out. Wembanyama, similar deal from the San Antonio Spurs. Now, he's much closer to becoming the face of the league, and for good reason. You just don't find many guys who are 7'5", 7'6", in the world, let alone with that type of skill set. Point being, there are a lot of guys who have a lot of hype and a lot of talent, but they never become what people thought they would become. And then you had Len Bias, who never even got a chance because he did one bad batch of cocaine, a line of cocaine or whatever it was, and died instantly that night on the spot. And you ask yourself, it's like, well, did his parents tell him to be cautious about drugs, trying drugs, because that type of thing could happen? And did he do it anyway? I don't know. I wasn't there. The point being is, again, we don't do a good job of heeding common sense warnings. Like, what more do we need to see from communism to know that it's not something that we can allow to take root in our country? And we've allowed it to take root in our country. That's the, you know, we have to do something drastic to get the communism out of our country. And we got to do it like right now. Because this Mom Donnie thing is the canary in the coal mine. And I was saying before, and people might think about, you know, hear this and go, you know, what's with all the ad hominem? What's with all the ad hominems? You know, what are you talking about, the way these cities now doesn't look cool? What does that mean? He's not cool. I don't know what else to tell you. For all of your criticisms of President Trump, it was pretty cool. I'm just saying, you know, he's pretty cool. All right. And Alex Jones is a cool dude. All right. You know, there's some cool guys out there. Muhammad Ali, that was a cool guy. Right. JFK. Wicked cool. Scary cool. Wicked brilliant, too. But cool. Mom Donnie doesn't even make the list. He doesn't even make the honorable mentions. And they're going to give this guy the presidency. You guys got to understand, the real slap in your face is not giving the capital of capitalism to a self-described jihad communist. That's not the slap in the face. The slap in the face, the real slap in the face, the punchline is coming with the Mom Donnie AOC 2028 ticket. They're already gearing it up now. From New York City to a theater near you. From the greatest city on earth, New York City, to a theater near you. Mom, Donnie, and AOC. And oh, by the way, Mom Donnie's going to be very gracious and let AOC be the president and he be the vice president, because women need to lead. Time's up. I mean, you know, it's right there in the works. It's right there. And how embarrassing, right? To let a couple of theater kids take this country like that is just, I don't know, man. Hey, what do you want me to say? What do you want me to say to you? You want me to give you some inspirational speech? What, you think I could do it better than George Washington or Jefferson? You think I could do it better than Abe Lincoln? You think I could do it better than Teddy Roosevelt or Reagan or JFK or even President Trump, you think I could do it better than him? I can't. I can't do it better than him. I can't say it any more honest or eloquent than they've said it. I can't do it better than Aristotle or Plato, or John Locke, you know, Benjamin Franklin, St. Thomas Aquinas, St. Augustine. I can't do it any better than they can do it. So why even pretend? Sure, I could try. I could write something novel for you in my own voice. And maybe it feels a little different than the things they said, but it's the same thing. The question is, what do you want to do about it? You want to give your country to AOC and Mom Donnie? Because if you do, by all means, let's just keep rolling the way we're rolling. 250 would be one of the last milestones we ever hit. Because before you know it, the flag itself is going to be hate speech. To even fly an American flag is going to be a reminder to all of the marginalized and oppressed people, the dark history of this nation, formerly known as the United States of America. To be rebranded in the future as the gay paradise. Remember Coolio talked about the gangster's paradise? We're headed towards the gay paradise. Gay paradise ran by Muslims and radical feminists. Sure to be entertaining. Get your popcorn. Let's just all sit in the front row and watch this thing go kablooey. Right? I don't know. But here's what I can say. I can tell you exactly what should happen. Step by step, what needs to happen. What needs to happen first is Amy Coney Barrett and Chief Justice Roberts should be arrested. That should happen first. You know, if we're not going to have a border, then we don't have a country. And anybody who doesn't support us having a border and thus a country, especially sitting on a United States Supreme Court, is by default a traitor to this republic. Put that in your pipe and smoke it this 4th of July weekend. We go all the way back to Mount Rushmore. We have all these iconic symbols and people that we, and I'm not saying we're going to execute them because, you know, I kind of regard it as high treason, but I think we should cut these folks a deal. I think the real battle we're fighting against is the institutional, academic, scientific, and managerial elite, intellectual elite. And we should just cut a deal with these people. Oh yeah, we should give them a golden parachute and let them live out their days in the countryside. You know, free to paint watercolors or get together and do their weird seances and orgies or, you know, the women cannot shave or whatever it is they're up to out there, whatever they're into. I don't know. They're weird. Whatever weird things they want to do, you know, as long as it doesn't infringe upon our ability to be a nation. I'm willing to cut that deal. That's a much better deal than playing this weird grab ass game where, in the end, we let the suburban white women vote for Mom Donnie because he's so progressive and articulate and charming. He's gay. That's gay. It's not cool. He's not cool. He wasn't cool. They, and I'll tell you, to be honest, in high school, he wasn't getting any, none of the girls liked him. None of the girls liked the Mom Donnies. In high school, I'll tell you how I know. Because all the dudes like Mom Donnie, who had a girlfriend, they were all trying to get with me. I'm just being real with you. I don't say it to be arrogant. I'm just telling you. Let a Mom Donnie type guy in high school have a girlfriend who was a little above his pay grade. You know, he was punching above his weight. And oh, she'd be at the varsity basketball house party in a New York minute. In a New York minute. She'd be right there. Front row, frat row. Okay. You know, looking up at the ceiling. And that's, you know, I don't mean to be vulgar. I'm just telling you what it really is. And maybe it's all of our fault. Maybe all of us dumb jocks created this Frankenstein of these resentful women who harbor all this even that, you know, even that's narcissistic. I've seen it 1,000 times. Now that I'm 35, I go back and I knew all these whores from high school who, you know, they decided to change their life. They were born again, or they went celibate. They went to some Judeo-Buddhist, spiritual retreat in wherever. And they came back a different person, but still blowing just as many guys. They just tell themselves that they're in control of their sexuality or whatever it is. Weird. It's just weird. It's a lot. They're lying to themselves. Self-deception is what it is. But they're sure of it. And it becomes their entire political identity. It becomes their entire human identity, which is just crazy unhealthy and psychotic. It does create a psychosis. And these are the people who were following. No, you weren't abused. You weren't victimized. You weren't taken advantage of. You were fast in the ass, as we used to call it back in the neighborhood. And you wanted to explore your sexuality, and God bless you. You know, you did what you did. The entire male species and our great nation, the United States of America, doesn't have to pay for your harbored resents. And we're most certainly not going to let the little cornball Mom Donnie take the country from dudes. You know, he was never a dude. He wasn't a dude then. He's not a dude now. Only a bunch of resentful women who had sexual obsessions of real alpha men and now have found some weird political center, some Judeo-Buddhist political center where they've meditated this political worldview. And Mom Donnie is the white knight in their vision. Only chicks who were way off the reservation and, you know, are coming back to this, you know, to that middle ground. How is Mom Donnie the middle ground? I don't even, come on, guys, stop. You know what? You gotta be kidding me. I don't, you know, it's just like, that's where we are. I said it. I don't have some profound Declaration of Independence type eloquent speech for you. I could do that, you know. I could put on my author and narrator voice, and we could go to the highest philosophical levels possible. We can talk about all these esoteric ideas, you know, as abstract and this and that, and oh, you know, we could go there, right? But why? I mean, why? Let's just deal with reality. The reality is this is out of control. We're giving our country to Muslims and Marxists. And we just got to call this. Nope, we're not doing it. We're not doing it. We don't need to see another country fall to communism for us to know it's not right for us. For us to know it's not right for this country. We don't need to see it. We don't need to test it. We don't need to test socialism. No, we're good. We're good. I don't need to do a line of cocaine. I don't want to try it. No, I know they're cutting it with fentanyl or angel dust. I don't know you. I don't trust you. Mom Donnie, I don't trust you. I wouldn't do the cocaine even if I knew you and I trusted you, but I don't know you or trust you, so I'm not even considering it. Don't even ask me again, because I'll slap the teeth out of your mouth for even asking me. See, I just was cut from a different cloth. I don't know. Some of you out there should be offended by the very proposition. The very proposition that the people of New York City, the people of the great state of New York, or the city of New York, would modulate their air conditioning for their little rat trap apartment they already overpay for, is such an offensive proposition that Mom Donnie should be getting hit with tomatoes when he walks the streets. But these people believe in it. You know what? The rule is you can eat the pizza. The pizza's great in New York City. And they say it's because of the water, but don't drink the tap water, right? Don't drink the tap water. RFK already told you the Hudson Bay was full of pollution. Maybe that's where they dumped the most atrazine. I don't know what these fruitcakes in New York City are thinking, but I know we shouldn't follow them. You want to give your city, you want to give your state to a bunch of transgender jihad communists? You go right ahead. I actually think... that it's a matter of national security that the capital of capitalism worldwide is being run by a subversive. That's my opinion. So I actually think we shouldn't leave them to their fate. I think the federal government shouldn't leave them to their fate. I'm speaking for myself personally. I'm not following these people. If you guys want to do that, you go ahead. That's a personal comment I'm making about culture as a commentator. But as an executive, we'd be rolling in there. Mom Donnie, come on out, man. Come on out, Mom Donnie. Yeah, we're done with this communism thing. Nationwide, we're done with it. You want to be a communist? You go back over there to where you come from, where your people came from. You go run for office on a communist platform over there. Go to China. Let's see how tolerant they are of the Mom Donnies there in the People's Republic of China. Hell, go to Russia. Go to Israel. Go to Israel and run on that. You know what? Go to Palestine. You want free Palestine? You want Palestine to be free so bad? You go to Palestine. You run on that platform there in Palestine. Make Palestine a communist country. You know, gather up all of the Marxist revolutionaries there in Palestine. But New York City? You guys should be absolutely ashamed of yourselves. Seriously. And I say with all due respect, New York City was a once great city. It's an absolute embarrassment. You know what? Minneapolis ain't far behind. You know one of the nicknames of Minneapolis is the Mini-Apple? It ain't far behind. Where California, New York City goes, Minnesota follows. It's like one of these weird polarity things. I don't know why. It's like all these states around us are Republican, are red states for the theater. Because I don't even know how red they are, because Trader John Thune comes from South Dakota. So even to say they're a red state is a stretch. But, you know, more or less. And here we are, Minnesota. This for some reason. What is it? What is it about Minnesota? Well, what is it? I haven't put my finger. I do know what it is. I know what it is. It's this thing called Yante culture. It comes from, you know, Scandinavian cultural relic, where these Scandinavian villages, these Scandinavians, this is far, far, you know, after our Viking ancestors, and I say ours because my grandmother's Norwegian, for those who follow the show. One of my grandmothers was a first-generation immigrant from Norway, okay? Little ways downriver from the great and valiant warriors of the ancient Scandinavian and Nordic culture. But we got to this egalitarian iteration of Scandinavian where, yeah, you go look it up right now. Go online and just look up Yante culture. It's Yante with a J. Yante culture, and it's nobody should stand out. Even if there's something wrong with the politics of the village, the morals of the ethics, the ideas, if there's something wrong with the ideas, we forego a confrontation about what's wrong with the ideas so we have a better chance to survive the harsh winters. That's the Yante culture. And that's what you see here in Minnesota. If you ever look up and you think, what is wrong with Minnesota? What? I don't get it. Yante culture, what they call Minnesota nice. I mean, think, we're at, as the polls would say, and now if President Trump were to endorse me, I'd probably blow Michelle Tafoya out in the land. If President Trump were to come out next week and say, Michelle Tafoya is a never-Trump rhino for the Republican establishment recruited by the same United States Senate that refuses to pass the SAVE Act, people like Mitch McConnell and Jonathan, which he should say, if he were to come out and say that, then I'd probably blow Michelle Tafoya out in the primary, and that'd be a great, great thing for this country. Because first we have to hold the Republican Party. Better hold the Republican Party. Better hold the Republicanism as the core principle or organizing principle of our political platform. As we lose that, I tell you now, we'll be losing this republic shortly thereafter. But, you know, minus that, if the polls hold true, You'll have a Michelle Tafoya, Peggy Flanagan, United States Senate face-off here in Minnesota in November. And you have one person who is a Native American Catholic that wears a hijab to pander for votes from the Somalis. And then you have a Michelle Tafoya who's never seen an Israel first idea that she doesn't get all moist over. You know, and that's just what it is, guys. That's how we're living out here in Minnesota. You know, got to have two women. What better than two women represent us in the most deliberately corrupt body in the history of human civilization? What better than to have two fake ass women represent we the people in the most deliberative body, supposed to be the most deliberative body in the world? What better? And you couldn't write it up any better than that. If I sat you down and I gave you a legal pad, you couldn't come up with a better script of how to kill your country, how to kill your nation. You couldn't come up with a better script. I challenge you all out there in the audience, come up with a better script than that on how to kill America. I mean, you remember the movie? There's a great movie. It's a funny movie anyway, Matthew McConaughey. Comes from a book or some magazine article I think she wrote, How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days. How to Lose a Country. How to Destroy a Country, 101. You vote in the Mamdanis, you vote in the AOCs, you vote for the Mitt Romneys, you vote for the Mitch McConnells, you vote for the Lindsey Grahams, you vote for the Mamdanis, you vote for the Ilhan Omars, you vote for the Michelle Tafoyas. You vote for, John Cornyn. You vote for the John Thunes. You vote for Tim Walz. It's how to lose a country. It's how to lose your freedom. It's how to lose your sovereignty. You may still have a country, but it will be formally known as the United States of America. It'll be something completely different. In fact, it's already something completely different now. We just celebrated the nation as though it still exists. And that's the cold, hard truth. Yesterday's celebration was a posthumous celebration of our once great nation. And praise be to God. I hope you all had fun. I don't mean to be the bearer of bad news here on the holiday weekend. I'm just being realistic. President Trump, I continue to implore you, arrest the deep state, mass deportations, secure the elections, start with the Supreme Court, sir. Godspeed, God bless America. Happy 250 years. Get ready for a war to come. We'll see you next time.
You noticed all the big universities and corporate media and governments around the world run down America all day? That's because the American system stands against their globalist system. And as the public figures that out, their corrupt, tyrannical, oppressive, communistic, anti-human death cult can't compete with what America stands for. And we stand in the shoes, on the shoulders of our forebears. Whether you're black, white, Hispanic, old, young, if you love liberty and freedom, and if you want to be free, and if you want to control your own destiny, you believe in meritocracy, then America is for you. It's under attack because the idea of it stands in the way of the enemy. And America is a dream. Just like a dream to get married, or a dream to start a business, or a dream to write a poem or write a song. And when you do that, those dreams come true. But we have to breathe life into those dreams. They want to kill those dreams. Don't let them break your will. Be proud to be an American. And know people around the world still love America. Understand it's the globalists that have hijacked us. And we're in the process of taking our country back from the Chi-Coms and the Israel lobby and the globalists and Hollywood and the left and all of them. And that's why it's so important to support the next leg in the info war at AlexJonesLive.com. And, of course, at thealexjonesstore.com with the widest selection of Patriot apparel, the best supplements, collectible knives, the best water filtration, and more that will empower and enrich your life while keeping this beacon of truth on the air as we accelerate into the future and as the Great Awakening prepares the final defeats of the globalists and their Great Reset. I salute you all. This is 1776 2.0. We are unstoppable together. God bless you all.
You do not help fund the resistance. You sit comfortably. You consume. You watch. You wait for others to fight the battle for you. The dark side has you firmly in its grasp. Every day, you remain on the sidelines. My power grows stronger. Continue believing. Someone else will save the galaxy.